Hello there. Welcome to episode number 160 of the Inside Running Podcast. This week's podcast is sponsored, proudly sponsored, by Hyper Ice. Listen in later on as we review the Hypervolt Bluetooth Plus Massage Gun. All products in the Hypervolt line are cordless. They're state-of-the-art. They're percussive massage devices that help alleviate soreness. They relax stiff muscles. They improve a range of motion. And they promote better blood circulation to accelerate warm-up and recovery time. Listeners of the Inside Run podcast are pretty lucky because they get an exclusive 15% off the entire range using the promo code IRP15 when you check out, when you buy one of their products. You can visit their website at hyperice.com.au to see their full range. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to episode number 160 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Could be a quick one this week, not much to go through, but we'll see how we go. We have said that before, and it's turned into a long one in the past. Welcome to my co-host, Dan in Anglesey, the 214 man, who we sent as the only Australian to the World Championships in 2019 in Doha, Julian Spence. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate.
What a spin out then.
Yeah. We always hope for a quick one, but we never do. Get you two blokes just find something, get into it, bang on.
Yeah, we'll put the stopwatch on your weekly recap and see how that good goes week. Tonight.
Pretty good week, too.
Have that, was it? We'll hear about it in a second.
Not really.
My other co-host, the 270 man from the Lake Biwa Marathon in 2008, Bradley Croker, welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate. It was actually 2018, but...
What did I say? 2017.
2008, you said.
Did I?
Yeah.
Bit scattered.
No, you did. You said 2018.
I said 2018. Why would I confuse that?
I heard 2008. No. I reckon the listeners will back me up.
Oh, yeah. Right in if you heard 2008 or 2018. What an interesting topic.
Have we all run our marathon at the PBs at the same spot then?
No, I've ran Berlin for me. I'm a big Berlin time performer. Bigger stage Berlin.
Yeah, big time performer, but just slower than both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember actually you going over to Biwa, Brad, and listening to your recount. I thought, oh, it doesn't sound very fast running along the lake and that. Like, it sounded windy and stuff. Sounded isolated when you were describing it.
Mm. I got the windy day. I got the tough day.
No, I don't think you did, actually.
Your day was perfect. Wasn't it just a bit hot at the end, Brad? Take us back.
Yeah, it was on the warmer side compared to, like, because normally it's pretty cold there. And so it was probably like 16, 17 degrees. But I didn't notice the heat. And I think coming out of the Australian side.
You just said it was 16 degrees.
17, but yeah, like, but the point is, like, 17 normally, like, if I go to the Gold Coast and it's 17 degrees, like, that's hot because I'm coming out of my winter. But because I'd been training here in like 30 to 40 degrees over summer, it actually wasn't an issue. But I reckon a lot of marathons, it's not necessarily the course, it's what happens on the day with packs and, you know, whether you're constantly catching people. Like, there's a lot more to it than just the elevation of a course, I reckon, that how you run on the day.
I agree.
You agree?
Yeah. It's just so much you got to try and get right for the perfect day. That's what we're always chasing. The good weather, the good. Yeah. That makes like Moose and Nick Earls run even more impressive because the weather was pretty foul that day. yeah, they still run 2.14s.
And so not getting isolated and, yeah, having packs to run with and, you know, running through the field, all that sort of stuff adds, reduces your overall time.
Yeah. Look at us just reminiscing about the glory days. Oh. Now just three beat up old runners.
Yeah, we didn't run much in the last week, did we?
And,
combined total.
It would have to be one of our lowest combined totals since we started this podcast, I reckon.
How many Ks did you do?
I did 70, which was a big week for me.
Yeah, I did 70. What'd you do, Moose?
I was get fucked. I was the biggest. I was like 82 or something.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm the king again.
I reckon there would have been weeks where, oh, no, not one person has done more than that, but yeah.
No, well, if you come off a marathon, like we say at BWA, we both took the week off, Brady, then you've got Brad probably still running like 160. Yeah, maybe that week we were the lowest.
Or after Berlin when we both did that one as well. That would have been
and he was injured. And he was injured.
Yeah, but he still would have done 100 and something. Remember, he was just building big base though. Couldn't run the race, but was just training through.
Mm.
Right, Brad?
Not a significant thing.
tell us about your week then, Bradley Croker.
All right, so Monday I took the day off after work, just came home and sort of been, I think, like 2 or 3 weeks in a row, I just didn't do anything on a Monday, which, sort of was enjoying. Tuesday after work, I went out to Mulligan's, ran 12.5K 409s. It was 22 degrees. That wasn't that hot. Must have been the other one. So yeah, 409s felt reasonably good. Then Wednesday, I went to the gym after work and just rode the bike, just over an hour, 35K, 124 average heart rate, which this week I actually turned on. They've got this massive fans in the spin room, and I normally haven't been putting them on, and I put that on for this ride, and yeah, heart rate was probably about close to 10 beats lower, I reckon, due to the fans. So that was quite an enjoyable ride, didn't take too much out of me.
You're just in the spin room by yourself, or the other people just roll in there?
No, pretty much all on my own. They've got about 30 bikes in there, I guess. But I find at the gym, like treadmills, spin bikes, like you don't have an issue getting on those things. No one wants to use them. They're in there. Everyone's in there for the weights. That's what I find anyway. So I find it quite good to be able to go at any time of the day and know I'm going to be able to jump on a treadmill or jump on a bike. So that was Wednesday. Thursday, I headed back out to Mulligan's after work. Did 46 minutes, so 10.5K at 425s. And I actually put the heart rate strap on for this run, just curious to see sort of where it was at. It was 27 degrees, which, is one of the warmer days that I've run in over the last few months. And, 425s, average heart rate was 141, which I thought was actually pretty decent for that pace and those weather conditions. And then Friday I 45 minutes in the morning out at Mulligan's, 410s. And this is where I find Canberra's weather is like, I found running at 8 o'clock in the morning with the direct sunlight, like the temperature was probably only 20 degrees, maybe 21. But that direct sunlight at that time of the morning, I find more taxing than 27 degrees in the afternoon, because when it in the afternoon you get this sort of like heat haze or this like cloud cover, so the temperature is 27 but you don't have that direct sunlight. So I much prefer those afternoon runs where it's a bit hotter but you've got some cloud cover. So that was the morning. Went to the gym in the afternoon.
I don't think that makes sense. What happens if it's not a cloudy afternoon though? Wouldn't there still be direct sunlight at 4:30?
No, but they're generally in Canberra. There's always this like heat haze or this. There's always generally this cloud cover when it get, on the really hot days. I've always noticed that it's always better in the afternoons. But that direct sunlight first thing in the morning is really really intense. So
yeah,
anyway.
Right.
Yeah,
didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, you've ever experienced that, Moose?
What you mean, like the UV is higher?
Well, I don't know if the UV is probably higher. in the, or just, it doesn't feel as hot because there's this cloud cover in the afternoon, even though the temperature's 30 degrees, there's this like haze, or there's something that's just keeping the direct sunlight off you. Whereas yeah, that's not like there.
Overcast, isn't it? Is that what they call it? In the
yeah, I guess it's
world?
Overcast, but it's, yeah.
So you're saying the haze from?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is maybe, you're saying it's common on hot days in Canberra that they're also pretty cloudy? You got cloud cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
up here, it's just like direct. There's no way you'd say that same statement about Chukamauma.
No, whereas in the mornings here, like the direct sunlight at sort of 8 o'clock is really burning. It burns me more than what it does in the afternoon. So,
like anyway, sun burns you.
Yeah, the sun's, it was that real direct sunlight. It's really intense, which I don't get that as much in the afternoon in Canberra on the hot days.
But do you get sunburn at 8 a.m.?
No, not sunburn. I'm not saying talking sunburn. I'm just saying that direct sunlight is intense and it like makes running like feel a lot harder.
Okay.
Is it like that down the beach, Moose? You'd be similar to me. Like you'd go out in the morning for 20 like degrees that, before 40 degrees in the afternoon?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's not like in the afternoon you might get a sea breeze or something that's quite nice, actually. You wouldn't see that on either of the two places you guys live. Mm. But the sea breeze comes in like a bit of a southerly or a southwesterly, and it just takes it. Like it's sun's still out, but it goes from being, I don't know, 32 to 24.
Yeah. We definitely don't get that. It actually is often hotter. Like it's hotter here at 6 o'clock at night than it is at midday. Even though occasionally get that cloud cover.
That's Ballarat too.
Yeah. So then that Friday afternoon, because I didn't work Friday, I went to the gym mid-afternoon. Saturday around lunchtime, went to the gym and jumped on the treadmill for 55 minutes, did 12.5K, so 4:27s. And then Sunday went out and did a longish run. I did 24.14K out at Mulligan's at 4:12s. So, so that was my biggest week in, I don't know, eight weeks, 9 weeks? So 70.4K.
What do you have a treadmill for on Saturday?
I don't know. Just, I actually don't know why I went to the treadmill.
There's some girl there or something you look at.
No, I don't know. I just wanted to. Well, I figured I've been doing at least one treadmill run a week. It's normally been my long run the last few weeks, and I had planned to go and run outside on the Sunday. So I thought, I'll just go and jump on the treadmill on the Saturday. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it was because it was like super hot and it was middle of the day, and I just thought, I'll just go to the gym, just keep it easy.
Yeah, it was a bit turning into a bit of a gym junkie, bit of a gym rat.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it on that treadmill.
Went to the gym twice today. Actually, did weights in the morning and then went back and did 45 on the treadmill this arvo.
God.
You're back on the track this week with your team up there, though, weren't you? Every second week? Yep.
Tomorrow arvo will be down at Woden Track at 6.
That's probably the only thing worth checking on your Strava. I'm just going to check it every second Tuesday from now on.
Yeah, like...
Have your followers gone down? Been dropping off?
My follow? No, not really. No, followers are... Yeah, no, I've actually probably increased since I've stopped running.
Kudos is probably going down though, isn't it?
You got
236 for a treadmill.
You got fucking more for a treadmill run than a long run.
Yeah. I'll tell you what though, the week just gone, what I did notice was meeting... So the week before, I met people at the track for a session, and I met people for park run for a session. And I remember saying last week that it was just an easy way of getting some quality running in without sort of the mental toll of having to get myself out the door. Whereas this week I didn't have the group session. I umanard for ages about going to park run on the Saturday and just doing some sort of tempo, but I'm just like, couldn't be asked. Whereas this week I'll have the session tomorrow, maybe go and do park run. So I might have to start up weekly sessions with the group to get me out the door.
Not a bad idea. It works. Mm. Moose, what have you been doing?
I did a week of running still. So Monday, I come off the long run and did 10K in the afternoon with some drills and strides. Did that with Ali and Bree. I ran some on the trails around Anglesey. 10K, but you climb 100 meters, so there's still some good hills in there. Heart rate was 121 and the average was 430. But I think there were some heart rate issues there. I wore this shoe, the Glide Ride 2, a new one from Asics. It's going to be a very good shoe, but not quite out yet. Tuesday morning, had a double, ran with Bree in the morning, 6K. I had a sore back, actually. I picked up a sore back from the, I think I was doing a little bit too much core work coming off the OP. Like, I took a real spell from it, didn't do a lot of core. And then I came back and did it, like, Saturday and then Sunday. And I had a really sore back Tuesday morning. So just jogged with Bree and then had all day at work. I was kind of sitting down a lot and the drive up to Ballarat wasn't good for my back. So I didn't know how the session would go. The warm-up, it was tight. And then doing the strides before the workout, I was like, oh, this just feels awful. But I've had it before where it warms up during the workout. So I thought I'll just get a few done. And if it's no good, I'll pull the pin. I had Mona was on the bike. I did a workout 5x400 at 5K effort with a minute rest between them. And I did this down this road. The footing wasn't great. Like, it's pretty like pothole-y, and there's some roots that come through the road sort of. So running at that pace around about, it was anywhere from like 68 to 74, I think. It was just a bit awkward underfoot when you're running that fast and you don't fully trust where your foot's coming down. And my back was quite sore, like really hard to get going. I felt really jammed up. But after the third one, I think it was the third one, it felt a lot better. So I did the second part of the workout, which was 10-minute threshold down around just the loop, ran 166 heart rate for a 315 average. And then 2 minutes jog again. Well, I think it was a bit longer because I just ran back to the repeat area and around
2 minutes 32, Sonia.
Yeah. So I had to get back there to run the 400s. And then, just did another 5x400 where I reckon I ran the 300 to 350 meters. It was really good. And gee, the last 50, I was fully dying, like just going backwards. So it was a good session. I liked it. But the back did hold me back a little. The back held me back. Yep.
Why didn't you do it on the track?
Oh, getting on the track up here is not real fun at the moment. You've got to have a COVID plan. You've got to book ahead of time, and I think you've got to have like a COVID officer or something to sort you out and, you know, like register. Anyway.
Couldn't just jump the fence, get it done, or too big of a big dog in town, people know who you are.
No, Tuesday night, there's already groups down there that have like done all the right things. And so I rock along just as I don't know. I'm not too concerned about the track, to be honest. I use the track in Geelong when I go there, but I just haven't investigated the Ballarat. It was never an issue. I would normally go to the track, but now that there are rules and stuff, and I know a few of my mates went down there and they kind of got told off for being there and stuff. So not great, but ran with Watto in the morning, Wednesday morning, 12K. Had a sore back again. This was 130 heart rate, 440s. So just, I can run on the sore back. It doesn't make it worse. It's just not so comfy. And then again, Thursday AM, went with Bree, climbed a little bit, 178 meters, 138 heart rate. I did 8x20 second on, 60 second jog. So just some surges at the end of the run. And this was in the Asics Gel Nimbus Light 2, which is about to come out and could be one of the best shoes that I've ever worn, actually, this new one, Nimbus Light 2. And Friday morning, did a workout. So Friday morning, went to Torquay, met Ali, picked me up. We went over, she had a workout there as well, met Jared and Hugh, a Run Strong guy, and ran a workout 3x1 mile at 5:05 pace, or that the aim was 5:05, and then a mile float at 5:35. So I didn't have my watch set to mile pace. So when I started, I was kind of guessing what 5:05 was. I think it was around 3:10 or so. And so I ran a bit quick the first one, 4:57. But then I got the, like, then I just kind of lucked out and got the second, the float right, 5:34s. And then ran 5:01, 5:03. Got a bit quicker on the second float, 5:27. But by the third float, I was just looking at my heart rate, trying to get it down. I just didn't want to run over threshold on that last float. So I kept it at around threshold and ran 5:44. So that was a good workout in the end. I think I'd run about 3:19s or so for the 9.6K. Saw back, sort of limited the range that I had, but I felt like my fitness was coming along, which was a good sort of feeling to have. And that afternoon, I went in to the clinic in Geelong, and I'd organised to get a cortisone injection done into my pubic symphysis, where I've been getting the pain, the osteitis pubis, and so that was done under CAT scan, under CT. So basically, like, they put a grid on you just around like your pelvis. They scan you, they come out, they mark where they want to inject, they put a needle in, a local in. This talking about like pretty awkward area, just like half a centimeter above your dick, and then they put you back in, scan you, look where the needle's at, take you out, fiddle around again, make sure the needle's in the right spot, go in, scan you again, pull it out, change the needle location, and then inject. And yeah, it's a pretty awkward experience. I don't recommend it. But the idea is, I'm about 90% with my OP, but when I had this organized, I was probably about 60%. So it just took that long to get all the appointments sorted and everything and the referrals. And I thought, well, I might as well get it anyway, because it's still holding me back slightly. But what it does mean is it means I have to change my training a little bit. So I had to take Saturday off, and then Sunday, no long run. I just ran 8K. Jumped in with the group still, but just did 8K on the flat, and it felt really good. Like, feeling better than it ever has. Cortisone normally takes about 48 hours to kick in, so it's kicked in, and I do feel good now. It was sort of like a longer term thing. So this week will still be a bit of a down week until it lets the injection settle and the cortisone let it do its thing before I can reload again. Yeah.
How many medical appointments do you reckon you've had in the last 6 months?
Oh,
you
so
must be sick of waiting in waiting rooms, wouldn't you? Referrals, that whole process.
I do some on Zoom. I've got the sports doctor on Zoom now. So I use telehealth. It's actually quite convenient. You can book a telehealth and then you don't actually have to go in. You can just sort of talk to the doctor over the computer. And because he's already sort of treated me, diagnosed me, and I've got scans, he kind of looks at the scans in his own time, comes on, talks me through my options, and I basically either pick one or he recommends one, and we go down that path.
So what sort of volume will you run this week?
So like today I run 10K, tomorrow 10, Wednesday maybe like 12, 14 or something. Don't do a workout though. Do a workout on Friday, do a long run. So the back half of the week will be normal. The front half will just be real gentle. Mm. Maybe 100K.
Your heart rate definitely looks like it's been coming down during sessions, which is a good sign.
Yeah. Easy runs feels easy again. And it just, like, I am so keen. I am bust. Today I was just busting to get out for more time. And yesterday I was as well, like sitting around and just going, fuck, the body feels ready to go. And I'm super motivated again. Like, I really want to have another crack, and it just being patient now this next week. And then, because I can tell, like, I'm going to have a good block now. I've got a good feeling about it.
Mm. Have you looked ahead for what you're potentially building for? I know Joel was on that Road to Nowhere catch-up episode last week talking about Lake Biwa. Like, is that on your radar? Like, to get back by something in Feb?
Nah, I'm not going to – that's a rush for me to get back for that. So I'll be looking at potentially something like April maybe. Maybe I definitely want to run something around September, October, and that will be the priority. And if something comes up before then, like around April, maybe even locally, I'll just do it, like whether it's I think Cadbury's on, or I don't know, Great Ocean Roads in May, something like that.
The big moose on domestic soil, Brad.
Yeah, back to his favourite Great Ocean Road.
Just people have forgotten. People have forgotten who the real king is down there, and they need a reminder.
Well, you're way more of a big dog now than you were when you won it last time.
Now I'm a local again down here. Mm. I'm allowed to say I'm a local again, sort of. It's not really on the Great Road. No, I don't think so. I don't think I'll do that. That's a bit late for me. I think if you want to do something in September, you probably don't want to run something in May. I don't anyway. Like, I'd rather do a half or something in May. If I can find something in April or March even, maybe I'll do that.
Plus, their appearance fee budget's probably not big enough for you either these days.
True.
That's true. You got to book out a house down there. we're in talks. Cadbury, though. Cadbury's got some budget, I hear.
Yeah, he seems keen on Cadbury, doesn't he, Brad?
He does. Does.
It doesn't sound like the discussion you guys had on that road to that catch-up thing. I was like, I don't know. You guys... You're talking about it being fast. I've never thought it was fast.
No, so it's fast for fit and strong people. Like, so people like you train on hills and, like, just rolling hills. And if you go to peak fitness, it's fast. Do you agree, Brad?
Yeah. If you're fit and strong, you can run pretty quick there. Like, there's only a couple of solid hills. So Nick Earl's got the course record? Is that right?
Last year. Yeah.
So there's a bit of incentive for you, Moose. Take down your nemesis.
Oh, yeah. Bit of extra prize money for course records too.
I don't know. I don't know how something can be fast if you're fit and strong, because that's not making sense to me.
Okay. Oh, it's fast so if you're example, fit and strong. The example is, so if I was to hit it, I would battle, I think, because I don't run over enough hills. Whereas if someone like you does a lot, or someone like Brad at like training Stromwell and Mulligans and doing like hilly tempos and stuff for like key marathon workouts, you wouldn't have a problem on it. Or if you're like, I always used to find I'd run well there if I've come down off Falls Creek and actually got some hills in the body.
But does no one's running sense? A qualifier there, though.
You're still not going to run what you'd run at Lake Biwa or Berlin. Like, it's definitely slower than that.
Yeah. And that's not like those courses, but it's you could still run fast. I think you could run 2:15, 2:16 there.
Like, that hill at the end, like...
But the marathon only goes up that once, though. They do the U-turn at the bottom of that hill.
Yeah.
There's a decent hill. I've heard that at the end of the race.
Yeah, that's the last hill. But and the marathon does the course twice, but you only do that hill once. You do a UE, at the bottom.
Yeah, okay.
But it's literally in the last like 400 meters though, isn't it, Brad? Like your race is you probably got your qualifier or not by then.
You're not gonna run 2:11:30 there. That's the qualifier.
That's true. It'd be hard.
not even you, Moose. Nah. Like, that's how you run to 11:30. Actually, I don't know. Like, I don't think any Aussie would run 2:11:30 there. Like, it's still slower than all of your other flat marathons around the world.
What about around Australia?
It's got to be worth a couple of minutes.
Faster than Melbourne?
No, I'd say Melbourne's faster than Cadbury.
Yeah, faster than Melbourne on a still day. Like, if it wasn't still at Melbourne, it'd be faster. A still day at Hobart compared to a windy day at Melbourne.
Yeah, but
that slows you down a lot. The hills, I don't. Day, you get some good downhills as well.
Still day at Melbourne. Melbourne's still way quicker.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'd take Hobart with a 3K wind over Melbourne with a 20 to 25K wind because you're going to be stuck in it for so long. And you got the hill up past the shrine. Don't forget that.
And back past the shrine, up over and then back. Now you know it's not the same as what it was. You have to go back over that hill.
Oh, do you? You don't come down St Kilda Road that next time?
You don't come down, is it Domain Road?
Yeah, you got to come back over. And then right.
Yeah, you got to go back up over the shrine again and then back down. Yeah, so it's a bit harder than what it was, I think.
Mm. Anyway, there goes the quick show tonight.
Discussing a potential race in 4 months' time and how fast it is.
Oh, well, people got to be looking now.
Yeah.
This is when people start making decisions. Like, I'm not deciding on anything, but I'm just like, there's an option out there.
When we talk about this news stuff with the UK announcing like a separate race for elites, that's where Athletes Australia surely have to be thinking like that. Put something
on. Talked about that on our run today. Oh. I'm like, I think Ali said, oh, wouldn't it be great if they did that? I'm like, can you imagine Athletics Australia trying to organise that? Like,
it's not rocket science. They don't have
the organisational capability to do that. No one would ever put their hand up and go, yeah, I'll take that on. It just wouldn't happen.
I know, but it's not, when you look at it, it wouldn't be that hard. Like, I think they're going with 30 men, 30 women. We should just talk about that now while we're down. Well, on that topic, I'll scroll down and get some facts for you. 30 men, 30 women, find a park that's 5K around, close it to the public, like run fast times, employ pacemakers, first three across the line, go to the Olympics. Because when Ali's on that show, she's talking about trying to find a marathon because she thinks she's going to get knocked out from the third spot. But no one's going to knock her out from the third spot because no one can find a race to do.
She's very worried about that. I don't think she needs to be as worried as she should be, you know? Like, it's pretty difficult to run, 225 someone will need to run, basically. How often does that happen?
In Hobart or Canberra at the moment. That's the only options.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, what else is normally happening in Nagoya? I think in Japan, the issue isn't so much, like, they're not allowing foreigners to race. It's like, you'll be allowed to race as a foreigner if you're in Japan. It's just getting into Japan is very difficult because even like, I think at the moment, long-term sort of long-term like international visa holders and stuff aren't even getting let back in. It's not like you can just rock up and quarantine for 2 weeks and you're good. It's actually really difficult to get into the country. Mm. So that's where everyone would look at Biwa or whatever, but the logistical trouble is actually getting into the country.
Mm. This is what I talk from Athletics Weekly. British Olympic marathon contenders will battle for Tokyo places on a flat, fast course at Kew Gardens in southwest London on March 26 as part of the Richmond Run Fest weekend. The 5.5K loop course does not have any significant elevation and is sheltered from the wind. The event will be staged in a similar fashion to the recent London Marathon, with athletes held in a bio bubble in small fields of around 30 men and 30 women in two separate races. How good is that?
Fun. Sounds fun.
Imagine that, 30 Australians, men, women, I hope it happens.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up, mate.
I know, it'd be great to watch, it'd be great for the sport. Tell you about my week, eh? Want me to go through? I'm on the comeback, fellas, I'm getting there.
How many Ks? 70.
70, but I could have done more. The hamstring's coming along quite well. I was a bit frustrated this time last week, so I'd kind of given it a week and I didn't feel like it changed at all. Whereas this week on my Sunday long run, I was like, yep, I can definitely feel a difference between last week and this week. Monday, though, I kicked things off in the afternoon, did 7.1K, 31 minutes. Not sure why that was at 4:26s, just after work. Tuesday, I didn't actually run. I went and paced Archie for his workout on the bike. That's quite hard doing that stuff on the mountain bike, isn't it? Like, you got to concentrate, looking at your watches, blocking a bit of wind. Just kind of keeping it even. You got a bit of pressure on when you do that kind of stuff. And it was like an out-of-body experience because Arch is like next to me running and like I'm so used to being next to him running, but then I'm high up on the bike and, yeah, I was kind of getting a different view of it. And I'm like, this feels so weird being on the bike and not actually running next year. So,
you need a GoPro, mate.
Yeah, we're not really into that up here in Chukumo, am I? We don't we never really see photos of us that much. Not like the kind of Surf Coast crew down there that runs with their phones and Instagrams and everything. So we're a bit more, I don't know.
What are you talking about? You frigging live streamed a frigging half marathon.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
Hey, guys. Look at us.
Oh, yeah, we did do that. I forgot about that one. That's the only one thing you see of us. We're pretty low maintenance up here, just chilling out. I might do a bit of Instagram live tomorrow for you then, Croaks, if you can. 6 a.m. Yeah. I'll be out there. 6:30 actually. Check your Instagram tomorrow. 6:30. I might fire some stuff off of Archie doing the session. I went to the doctor's after work, so I didn't have any time to run on Tuesday. And because I'm just relaxing and chilled out at the moment about getting this hamstring right, I'm not worrying if I just miss a day here or there. Wednesday, did 10K at 4:24s. Was feeling pretty good before work in the morning. Thursday, I did 5:40 a.m. This is an early start, this one. 11K at 4:30, still feeling good. And then Friday, I just thought I'd test it out, do a bit of a steady state, which is probably more threshold when I looked at my heart rate. Did 5K, trying to run between kind of like 5:25 and 3:25 and 3:30-ish. Just kind of sat at that fast but really controlled kind of pace. Did 5K at 3:26 in the end at 17:12. Could feel it, you know, that 1 out of 10, which is pretty similar to what I'm feeling at every single time I run at the moment. But the good thing was that it didn't pull up any sorer the next day. So that gives me a lot of confidence that I can keep working at that kind of pace and, start working on a bit of fitness there. But heart rate was pretty high. It was pretty warm at 8 o'clock in the morning. I reckon it was, you know, maybe 22 or something. Oh, yeah, 20. And, the heart rate average was 161 for that pace. So probably lost a bit of fitness, but all good. Saturday, I got out as well. That was pretty late. I went over and I took Hudson for a drive over to Shepparton, watched the boys train, yelled some splits for them, which was good fun. And then I got out for 10K when I got home at about 10 a.m., 4:24 pace. And then the Sunday long run, super hot. I think it was like 22 when we started, 28 by the time we finished, and direct sun, and like just super humid as well, like no wind, and it was just like the heat was just sitting in the air. But did 90 minutes this week, average 4:17, which was good. Glenn and Archie got a smoothie afterwards, just chilled out. But I was a lot more happier at the end of last week, thinking like it's still there, can still feel it, but it's not like painful in any way. Like even when I poke it and stuff now, it's I'm definitely getting on top of it, keeping up the drills, all the exercises, those kind of things, the massage gun, all that stuff. And I didn't end up booking in for a scan, so which I don't know, now it's come good, I've kind of turned away from that idea, but we'll see what happens the next couple of days. Also went back to the doctors. I spoke about my iron last week, and yeah, that ferritin was pretty low again, so got to have another infusion, which is good to know that those infusions for me don't last longer than 14 months. So I'll be getting that sorted in the next week or two as well. So I'm thinking by Christmas time, I'll be back rolling. The iron would have kicked in, bit of fitness be coming back, and I'll be going all right.
Sessions this week?
Yeah, I might do. I think I might try and get down to a bit close to like 3:20 and maybe do like, even I was thinking like 2 by 10 minutes with 2 minute jog in between. And I'll probably do that. I'm going to pace Archie again tomorrow morning, as I was saying. So I probably won't get a chance to do it then because it's going to be super hot up here. I think it's nearly 40 most days of the week this week. But I might try and do that Thursday or Friday morning and then maybe try and get that long run out to like an hour 40, an hour 45 on Sunday. So just steadily kick things along. And I think I'm still a long way off adding doubles. Then I think I'll add the second workout and go from there. Make sense?
Is the instruction to kind of not do speed work with that hammy?
Yeah, and just increase the load slowly.
Yeah.
So I kind of, and you'd agree that the load is like, it's overall mileage, but it's also increasing the pace to see what kind of pace it can handle.
I don't know exactly. I'm not the physio, but I know like most hamstring stuff hates change of speed.
Yeah.
Like instead, like accelerations, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we'll see what happens and report back next week. But feeling a lot more confident and, maybe I think you said last week that those physio things sometimes take a while to kick in, and feels like they're slowly starting to take a bit of an impact now. But it's all good. I'm happy.
So after you ran that 5K, what was it like the next day or two? Was it sorer than what it had been like before you did the 5K?
No, same, which was good. Yeah. Like it didn't. And that was the whole reason I did it. Like it wasn't really doing it to see how unfit I was or what I could average for 5K. It was just going, how is this going to feel in 24 hours? So then the next step is, well, if, you know, 3:28 doesn't fire it up, let's see if 3:18 fires it up. And then slowly just tick things down. And hopefully by the time I get faster that I'm fully over it.
It's good, Brady. You've been very patient.
I'm actually loving it. It was one of my most enjoyable weeks. I think I said it to you in a message, like I probably got a bit of a glimpse into the future, being the guy on the stopwatch, the guy pacing the bikes, the guy who takes the pram to the athletics track and yells out splits and gets the boys to, you know, kick home or whatever they're doing kind of thing. So, and kind of using running for like really just to exercise first thing in the morning for kind of my own mental health and set the day up, and then to join in the long run for 90 minutes on a Sunday. I think post competitive racing, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah,
which I like. I almost like it too much. I'm like, oh, I could probably pull a croaker here and just. I think the competitive spirit's going to come back soon, but yeah, I'm having fun.
I think you're also like describing though the importance of just having like down periods throughout a year. Like as distance runners, there's this, I guess, a culture of, you know, you always need to be, consistency's like important, and that means basically not missing any weeks of training. And but I think having down weeks or down periods is really important, like to keep that longevity, but also the enjoyment, like just to freshen up mentally and physically, which is I think what you're doing now.
Mm. And I average like 155k a week from like the start of the year to the end of October. Like it wasn't like I had a few little gaps in there, you know, in different times and places, but I put in a lot of k's this year.
Mm.
Do you want to say something, Moose, before I cut you off? No.
Oh, I was just going to say you could just move into coaching.
Yeah.
Echuca, you could be Archie's like water boy.
Oh, mate, when he's teeing up for like Launceston, because he's going to do the half marathon down there in 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I'm just trying to live all my dreams through him down there. I'm telling him I want you to smoke this guy, and this guy's going to go out too hard, but you'll pick him up at 18K, and this guy reckons he's going to run 62, but he won't. And oh yeah, we're having some real good chats. I'm just getting him fired up. And it's good for him because I just wanted to put a 65 on the board, like it's because he did that in that time trial.
Drop a name. Who's he going to smoke?
Hey, I've got the list down here. Do you want to go to that runner news first? Well, who's the list? Half marathon. Yeah.
Who's he going to smoke? Let's put him ahead of a few.
I've got him ahead of Dave Ridley, Aidan Hobbs, Brett Ellis, Ben Kelly. Smoke all those fellas, no worries. Probably, see, there's going to be two packs here because you're going to have Brett Roberts and Joel Tobin White, Ben St. Lawrence, Sam McEntee, Ed Goddard. Tim Vincent's kind of in no man's land. Would you agree looking at those names?
Embarrassingly, I don't know who Tim Vincent is, sorry.
He's the bloke from up at Gold Coast Runco.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The guy that beat Jack Bruce a couple of weeks ago on that half marathon we spoke about.
Yes, gotcha. Yep. Maybe even two front packs, you know, like... Sam, Joel, Brett, Ben. Is Ed going to go with that pace?
I think Ed will. He's running high on confidence.
Yeah.
He won the New South Wales 10K champs the other week. He beat Ben in that. So
that's true. Yep. Interesting.
And he's run 64.07 before. He's kind of had that next breakthrough as well.
Yeah, it's fast. I wonder how fast they're going to go out because you've got Brett coming off a marathon, obviously, like not at full load, probably not. Maybe he is at full load, but he hasn't absorbed a lot of that load yet. Joel's been doing a lot, but he's a pussy, so we don't know what's like. He's had one good half in his life, but that's about it. And then Benny, who knows how to win races, and Sam McEntee, who I've got as almost the favourite here, I reckon.
Almost. You had him as the favourite off air.
He's toned things down a bit, yeah.
I've got him as favourite, all right? He's going to... If we're taking bets, I'm putting my money on Sam McEntee. I reckon he's just had a really good block. He was good at that race I watched. When was it? With Stewie... Stewie beat him over 5K.
Melbourne Track Classic.
Yeah, I know that's a long time ago, right? But... I don't know. I just feel like he's ready to come out and belt one up.
Interesting, the guy who's never ran one before, debuting, he's your favourite over the national record holder.
National record holder, yeah. Oh, well, but you've come off a marathon. Like, I guess it depends
He didn't. He won 35K, though. Like, don't underrate that. He didn't run the whole distance. He's going to recover quicker.
You didn't quite do a marathon, but I reckon you pull up worse from those ones that you battle with.
Yeah, you're shot. Yeah,
yeah. That ruins you worse than an actual marathon. Unless you pull out at like 20K or something, that's different.
I reckon there'll be a bit of cat and mouse because I'm guessing there'll be decent prize money on the line, and these guys will want to win. So I reckon I don't think it'll be super quick through the first 5 to 10K. I think it'll be controlled, and then they'll wind it up the second half.
They get extra prize money, though, if they beat the Australian all-comers record.
Which is, what, 61?
Something, low? Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think that Ed will be in that front pack, and Tim will probably go with it as well, unless it's like, 60-minute pace. But I just can't see them going out at that pace.
How about the three housemates running together?
Yeah.
Like Brett, Joel, and Sam. And Sam all live together. And that's going to be – how fun would that be? Like getting in that front pack and just looking around, seeing guys that you like – have cups of tea with every night and talk shit with and wake up and run with every day. That would be pretty sweet.
Would you reckon they work together just to drop everybody else to sort out the podium and then race the last 5K?
Well, I've got a bit of a theory going here, boys, and I will confirm it with Welshie when he's on the show next week. But have you noticed the omission of Stewie's name on any of these entries? I reckon Stewie's pacing the half. Get him through in 29 dead, 10K. Step off, set him up.
Wait, this is your theory?
This is my theory.
And
the Tassie guy, why is he not on any of these start lists for Launceston Running Festival? He'll be helping out his training partners here. Betcha. Heard it here first, listeners.
All right.
Makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Wouldn't they be building that up a bit?
Yeah, they will later on, though. Yeah. They'll be, they drop names slowly? It's like when festivals like release music artists. You'll always save someone for 2 or 3 weeks out.
Wouldn't he just go and do a tempo in the 10K and win?
Yeah, we could do that. Maybe he's not ready yet. I reckon he's come off a break. Talk about the women's race. Andrew Secafian, Millie Clark in the half, Jessica Stenson. That would be a good race as well. They're the top three to keep an eye on there. Any predictions this far out, boys? We are going to talk about this in detail last week. Don't have to spend too much time on it now. We're just talking about people that Archie's going to smoke, and then we've got ahead of ourselves.
Well, we know Millie and Jess are fit. I'm not sure about Andrea. I'm not aware of what she's been doing or if she's run any races or in form. So Millie's definitely fit, and I'm being led to believe Jess is also very fit. So they have very similar PBs here. And this is two of the girls that are looking to knock someone out of their marathon positions for Tokyo here. So Millie and Jess will be very competitive with one another, I reckon.
Mm. And how's the 10K start list? I haven't counted them, but they'd probably have to be close to 20 blokes under 30 minutes there.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 or 7 under 29.
Get in, though? Were they time trial results?
What are your thoughts on that, Moose? I see some people have entered with their time trial times, and they've put them next to where they're like seeds.
Whereas... not quite a race, is it? You can't really take that. I don't know about you guys, but if I run a time trial around the block tomorrow, I'm not entering Lake Biwa Marathon with it.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure don't most race meets go, don't they have some database like your World Athletics profile or something similar to that that basically has your official PBs? They're the ones that I'd be going off.
Mm.
Archie went off his official one, which is about 2 minutes slower. It was a good move from him. I reckon you got to earn that order in the correct way, in a correct race.
Good chance to lower your PB, though, in these races.
Yeah, it looks good.
I didn't mean that. I said good chance to lower your PB.
What do you mean?
Races. Oh, coming to Launceston.
Because they're so deep.
Yeah. And the packs will be rolling.
And the course is like Launceston is so flat.
Yeah, you just go out, do a Yui, come back.
Let's go five. All right, here's the names for the 10K. I'll just bust a few out while we're here. Benson Lawrence, he's going to run both by the sounds of it. Okay, maybe not Ben. Dave McNeil, Jack Rayner, Liam Adams, Ryan Gregson, Geordie Williams, Kieran Tall, Riley Cox. Fuck, there's a lot there. Mm. And you keep going. In the women's, Sonia O'Sullivan has by far the fastest PB, so she'll be hard to beat. Eloise Wellings, Sinead Diver, Izzy Bat Doyle, Genevieve Gregson, Tara Palm. That's also a deep field.
It's going to be so good to watch this unfold. Hopefully they have a good live stream or something. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to Welshie next week about that. Do you want to go back and thank some Patreon supporters, fellas? We haven't done that yet. Do you want to kick us off, Brad?
Yep. My shout-out this week's to Alex Moore. Alex lives in Norman Park, Queensland. Is a Strava subscriber, but has the request to follow set on his profile. So we're pretty confident that these are his PBs, 18:52 for 5K, 48:06 for 10, which is at Bridge to Brisbane, 1:58 for the half, and a 2:37 Olympic distance triathlon. So is Alex a male or female, Brady?
Male, Brad, yeah. Male.
Are we, could be short are we for putting Alexander. Down triathlon Alexander. Times now in the shout-outs?
Yeah, there's no criteria for what I put down here, Moose. Just whatever I can find on you goes
That's
in there.
Controversial.
That could be, you know, I was really scraping the barrel with Alex because I couldn't find anything because his Strava was set on private, so I had to...
You've got to dig deeper than that.
Yeah. Well, normally it's about tats and swagger, Moose, so at least this is, you know, athletics-related.
And it's Olympic distance. That's legit, isn't it? Or is that the one they only have to measure within 10% and it's correct?
It's always 10%.
Oh, is it? Doesn't matter what kind of distance.
It's just, that's a triathlon in general, yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Moose, who are you thinking?
Joanna Buchholz. She might be from Muscat in Oman. Now, that's an odd place to be a runner. That's in the Middle East. So she ran 22 for 5K, 42:04 for 10, 1:31 for a half marathon. That's the standout so far, I think. And 3:28 at Stratford upon Avon, Shakespeare half marathon. I don't know what you've stitched me up here.
No, but you remember last week you thanked someone who lived on that upon Avon as well. Remember
that? Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
And I looked up Joanna. I'm like, oh my God, she lives upon Avon as well.
We have a big following in Stratford upon Avon.
Was last week Stratford though? I reckon that was something else upon Avon.
Yeah, it was a different one. It wasn't Stratford.
Right. Need so they're just naming their towns about what's on the river.
Well, that was just me guessing that last week. If someone can write in and tell us what goes on over there in the UK on this Avon thing, what's it mean?
Yeah. So, Joanna, it looks Oman is not a cool destination. It's hot and dry. It's actually quite close to Doha. Anyone want to hear about Doha?
If it's the same, if I've got this correct, like she had some photos up there and it looked, yeah, super dry and hot, but she was getting it done. She was doing some good workouts, like 6 by a mile I saw somewhere there.
Mm. That's tough. I mean, you've got to get it done somehow, don't you?
You do. Thanks for your support, Joanna. Callie Butler, I'm going to thank you from Brockton in Stratford. Oh, I thought that was the same spot. It's pretty close, isn't it?
Stafford. Isn't it?
Stafford, she's really fast actually, Callie. This is just reminding me of some of her PBs here when I started reading this. 17:41 for 5K, 36:23 for 10K, 78:29 for the half marathon. Been running since 2013 from her Power of 10 profile. Started as a 26-minute park runner, now she's down to 17.5 minutes for park run. A lot of like winning from Callie. Saw a lot of photos of her with like trophies and medals and a lot of kind of like muddy cross country and stuff over there. So she seems like she's a pretty successful runner over there. Thanks, Callie, for your support and to all those patrons out there who chip in, keep the show alive. Hopefully, if it brings you value, you can do the same thing. I was thinking, boys, we should have had a Black Friday sale or something. I was thinking, we couldn't figure out how to work that.
Oh, we got some merch to sell, actually.
Do we?
We got some merch. Yeah,
I thought we sold all
in my store. Yeah. Still a bit of merch left. Actually, I'm going to do a quick shout out. The Gold Rush Trail Run, which you've actually been part of before, Brady, in the past, is not going ahead this year because it relies on a lot of buses. So normally I'm pretty stressed out about this time and getting that all sort of ready and sorted and whippersnipper and the trail, all that stuff. But this year the events changed to Mount Cole, which is sort of in the Bowangor National Park. It's the Mount Cole State Forest and Bowangor State Park. And it's this destination that's like halfway sort of between Beaufort and Ararat, just past Ballarat. It's one of the most epic trails I've ever run on. It's single track the whole way. It's on the Baritmo Walk. And Baritmo is like is an Aboriginal word that sort of means wild mount. So it refers to the mountain that it basically goes up and down. So this trail, we're holding a race on it. It's called Gold Rush, but it's called Wild Mount this year. So the Baritmo Wild Mount is one distance, 23K. Starts and finishes at Cave Hill Creek, which is one of the best wedding destinations in Western Victoria, actually. And then, funnily enough, big fans of the show down there at Cave Hill Creek. So support those guys.
Hey, Patreon supporters, Moose. Is that why you're linking this to the Patreon shout-outs?
Potentially they are, or they will be soon anyway.
Or do we invoice them?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing here, Brad.
You can invoice me.
He's gone rogue.
Yeah, no, this is...
you got any races you want to promote, Brad?
Maybe this can be your purchase of the week. you can pay us for promoting.
Look, we've all been battling to try to find races this year. We go and put a race on. Let's give it some time. Let's give it some airtime. Everyone's had their races stripped from under them. This Burritmo Wild Mount, one of the best trails you'll ever run on. And I know you guys love trail running. So get out there, get down. Saturday morning, we go off in waves. We're going to sponsored by Ultra, the event in Cave Hill Creek. You'll really enjoy yourselves.
You know that section at the end of the show when I say what's coming up and you're always not sure what to say? This would have been a perfect thing to bring that up then.
I get this in early because most people tune out after my week.
Well, your week has finished.
Yeah, because everyone's asleep. It goes for so long.
Let's talk about some running results. New South Wales 3,000 metre championships. You blokes, I was in bed early Saturday night, so I woke up Sunday morning to about 8,000 messages from you two fellas discussing all these results. You watched it live. I did go back and watch some of it, just the A races, the championship races, and was really impressed by the winners of both the races, just because they both went gun to tape. Gutsy straight to the front, got the job done. Rose Davies from Newcastle, also associated from the Bendigo Bats, won the females' race in 9:00.17. Lauren Reed was second, the New South Wales state 10K champ from a few weeks ago. She ran 9:08. And Imogen Stewart, the 15-year-old, we've talked about her a bit on the part in the past kind of episodes, last track season, was 39:12. That's top three, but it was deep. Kate Spencer was fourth. Leanne Pompiani was fifth. Eloise Wellings was sixth. And Belinda Martin, who's Imogen's mum, she was seventh, and she was in 9:22. So a lot of people crossing the line pretty close together there. What did you think about it, Brad, when you were watching it?
Yeah, it was impressive. Firstly, just the whole night, like Athletics New South Wales, I think I mentioned last week, like it's probably the best distance event that they put on every year. You know, I think there was 10 male seeded races plus two community races and maybe five female seeded races. So, but in terms of the women's A race, Rose was just a cut above. I think she really wanted to run a PB and break 9, but that first K was just a little bit slow. So then she really sort of accelerated through that second K. And I think she mentioned that the second K was probably a little bit too hot, which sort of cost her a little bit right at the end. But super run. She's going to be a star. Well, she already is a star. But I reckon I called her out. Noosa Bolt last year or the year before, where she like stuck it to the top girls for a long time. Yeah, I reckon I made that call.
End of the year, you said something like, you know, when we're like athlete to watch in 2020, someone said her. I reckon.
Yeah, me, yeah. I said that.
Oh bullshit! No, it was me. I reckon it was me for sure. Because I remember mentioning her at the Noosa Bolt. She was super impressive, but and look, the men's race was very similar. In terms of like Zach Fascione won the race in 7:51, but he just had this attitude, was like, I don't feel threatened by any of the guys here. I'm basically going to time trial this. I want a hard effort out of it. There was basically a pack early on. So there was him, James Nipperis, Jai Edwards, and Josh Phillips. They were sort of the top four that were together for a lot of the race. Nipper finished second in 7:55.79. Jai Edwards was third in 7:56.58, and Josh Phillips ran 8:00.10. He actually dived across the line to try and get that sub eight. So, so that was impressive race to watch. Did I mention the time that Zach ran?
7:51.61.
Yeah.
Both of them were championship records too for New South Wales 3K champs. I'm just reading James Constantine's post about it at the moment. Moose, your thoughts on Athletics New South Wales in general? They're delivering high-quality races. The stream's good. They're selling out. I think this sold out. They're like, you couldn't get a spot in it if you entered later than Monday. Is every other state body looking at Athletics New South Wales and saying that's where we've got to get to now?
Yeah, well, they've probably taken a bit of the lead from, like, the Milers meets down in Geelong. I mean, in Victoria over the past few years as well, because graded races going pretty deep. at the milers, I think like Victoria's done that pretty well in the past. Our championship races, you still, we've been able to watch the Vic Champs and stuff on streams, probably not to the professionalism of what they're doing up there in New South Wales with like full commentary teams the whole way through and bringing guests in and out, that kind of thing. They've taken it to another level.
It just seems like they're streaming everything as well. Like there was that, yeah, that meet a couple of weeks ago, which is pretty low key, but
I did have it on early and I looked down and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? I'm watching people run 12-minute 3K races going, and I'm just sitting on my couch going, shit, there's been a real lack of sport on the TV lately.
But isn't that good that if you're just a punter out there in the D or E grade race running 12 minutes, you can still get on the stream?
Yeah, I know. You still
share with your family.
And the funny thing is I was actually half enjoying it. I'm going, have a look at this. There's a bit of a race on here. I'm like, Bree, have a look at this. This last lap, this big fella's going to take out this six-year-old kid. Have a look at him down the front straight.
I was the same, Moose. I pretty much watched the whole stream because I had, like, athletes racing in sort of the different grades. And, like, it's just so – it's set up so well for PBs because the races are seated in that, you know, there's about 20 in each race. And often the PBs in that whole 20 are, like, within 10-15 seconds of each other. So it's such good opportunity for the athletes, and yeah, there's lots of PBs.
Where we put Zach when we talk about Australian distance running at the moment, like you're throwing Stewie and Pat Tin and up probably on their own level, is Zach in that next level? Like, is he going to become a 13-25, 13-30 guy when you start throwing him in with names like Jack Rayner, Dave McNeil? Yeah. That kind of
stuff. Well, realistically, he already is a 13-30 guy. Like he ran 13-40 on his own at a time trial. So I definitely think he's got 13-30 low to like 13-20 high in him in the next, you know, 12 months. And what I found really fascinating was actually the post-race interview that James did with him was about his his college coach's philosophy, in that he doesn't train that hard at all. He said that he came back from the US in March, had a fair bit of time down, and then slowly build up from, you know, I guess middle of the year. And he said in that time, the only real hard efforts he's had was that 5K where he ran 13:40, one other session, and this 3K. So his coach is very much just about consistency and like a lot of just aerobic work.
So does that sound a bit like Pat Tiernan in that very much train within themselves?
Yeah, very much. And I spoke to one of my athletes in Sydney who saw him at the track a few weeks back, was doing mile repeats, and he's like, they weren't that quick. Like he was, you know, just cruising around. So it was really encouraging. Like it was just nice to hear that that's the way that he trains and he's getting results.
Mm. And was a talented junior, but he definitely has made that step up, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been running well for a long time. Like he was a great junior here. So he was coached by Ken Green.
Yeah, Sydney Running Academy, wasn't it? When it was called that.
Yeah.
He was in there. Yeah, some good stuff up there. Some fast times. Would have been interesting to see what Adrian Potter would have run if he was allowed into the state. But bit of bad time with that COVID outbreak over there in South Australia. Should we review the Hypervolt Plus, fellas? We got sent one of these. Thanks to the people at Hypervolt for sending through this massage gun. I've been seeing them flat out. I don't know if it's all Hypervolt, but have you guys all on your ads, like your algorithm? See a lot of these things floating around. Didn't even know what they were this time last year, but it feels like every man and their dog's got one of these massage guns at the moment. You both agree?
Yeah, I got one. I got one for Christmas last year. Actually, I got
Can I jump in there, Moose?
What, you I'd got one, and then they sent us a free one.
I'd say early Christmas present, because actually, when we went to down to Steigen last year, the Sunday morning, you were playing around with it in our Airbnb, and that was the first time I'd actually seen one of these guns, and I was like, oh, he's. Here's Moose, so much for being blue collar. He got one of these massage guns.
That's right, yeah.
Massage gun, come on, mate. There's nothing white collar about a massage gun. It's an economical way to get the knots out.
Well, it's not blue collar, is it?
They're pretty cool things. I was stoked when I got told we're getting sent one of these things because I know they're pretty expensive. I'm not sure if anyone's got the retail of them up right there, can get that up for me at the moment. But we got the Plus model. Comes with about five or six different, are they called heads that go on the end of them? Have I got that right? Yep, Hypervolt head attachment set. So all these different ones, like one that mimics like a finger. I've got a bit of a round one on at the moment. There's one that has like two fingers. Have you seen that one?
I like the prong one. You know,
That's the one he's talking about, the two finger one. We just feel like your calf and Achilles type area.
Yeah. Go either side of it, up and down the tendon.
Is that your regular one? You have that one on all the time?
It bangs the perineals and the tip, like both sides of the calves love it. I actually don't change it much from that because if you turn it onto its side a little, you can use that sort of one of the end knobs right into the glute, into the side of the glutes too.
What else you been doing with it, Brad? You use yours much to get out the door? I feel it loosens me up a lot before going out for a run.
Yeah, that's what I found. Like, I haven't been using it as much so I guess there's three purposes for it. One is like as a warm up, just to get the blood flowing to areas, which is what we did, Moose, that Sunday morning down in Geelong. Mm. There's maintenance and there's recovery. So there's sort of the three areas you use it for. I like the trigger point head, which I can sort of get right into my hip flexor and glute.
Hang on, is that the one finger one that I was talking about?
Yeah.
That's what I watched a YouTube video on it, and that's what the guy was saying. It was a physio actually using one. He goes, this one's meant to mimic a finger. So don't go laughing at me. That's where I got it from, fellas.
I'm just not sure if that's the name of it. Is that the name of the head, though?
Finger.
They each have names.
I don't know. A finger.
And the other one's got two fingers.
One thing I've been playing around with is our version has Bluetooth, so you can actually download an app and sync, like basically the Bluetooth will sync up to the app, and then there's different routines and it actually changes the intensity based on what you should be doing. And so there's routines for a warm-up, there's routines for maintenance, there's routines for recovery, and they're anywhere between like 4 minutes and 30 minutes long. So I was playing around with that today, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's good, because the first thing I got, like, thought, and I said to Carly when I got it out of the box and just started, you know, you get it out, you set it up, which takes very little to set up. But I was like, do I need a license for this thing? Like, I don't actually have any qualifications at all about the human body, and here I am just firing this thing straight into my glutes and hammies, and, like, my muscles are moving around everywhere. So I probably should check out that Bluetooth app, that connection.
Yeah, because that's a video.
Make sure I'm getting the right spots.
No.
So not only does it change, it changes the intensity and the pressure, but it also has the video showing you what you should be doing at sort of any given time.
Well, you bring up a good point about the pressure because it's got three levels. I only go on level one. I haven't gone up to two or three yet. It just seems to be going too hard for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm always level hard. Two, level three.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What about you, Moose?
Well, I've had it for a year now, so this one's a bit more powerful, 30% more powerful than the other one. And I need it. You get a little condition to it, like you desensitize. So I just go full noise, straight out, right. Like
straight
to
level three.
Straight to level three, right in the sore spots. You do condition to it once you sort of put your big boy pants on.
You got to remember who you're talking to here, though, Moose. This is Mr. Number 1 out of 10 needs to take 4 weeks off training because he's got a 1 out of 10 plane.
Exactly. He is a small little human, though.
Well, have you hit your bones on it? I've done that. Yeah. Like, I've tried to do like my glutes and I've accidentally hit my hip and it kind of like vibrates. And I'm like, oh, there's no muscle there, mate.
I wish I could hit my bones at the moment.
Oh, yeah, that's dangerous when you hit your bones. Just bounce straight off them. Yeah, so that's why what about our, they're not very noisy either, you notice that? Like pretty, you can sit on, well, I've tried to sit on the couch a couple of times and get mine firing, but it goes all right, don't get in too much trouble. This is, I've got mine in front of me, see if you can hear this. This is how little noise it makes. Hear that? Turn up to level three, then got a bit scared and turned it off straight away. Doesn't make much noise at all there, it's pretty good. Anything else to add, fellas?
No, that's, I've got the, you I actually have moves? Like, no, but I've got this one, and I've also got the Theragun Pro, which is probably like the biggest competitor to this with Bluetooth as well. And the Theragun is a lot louder. That's the biggest difference between these two. So the Theragun is like the triangle ones, And like at the same sort of high level, the Theragun you can just hear from like the next room, whereas this here is a lot softer, a lot quieter. Yeah.
I use mine every day now. Like this is one thing that, I'm glad
absolutely
we got.
Every
yeah,
day.
But if, yeah. yeah, you don't know what you're missing out on until you got one.
This is actually the brand that I, with my back wrap, that I, you know, the back wrap thing purchased, is the same brand.
Hyper Ice, Hyper Volt Plus.
Yeah.
Another thing as well, like, cause they are pretty expensive, but the way I look at it is I'm saving that money, like booking in to get a massage. Massages are pretty expensive, so yeah, it's gonna. It's like having your own masseuse just sitting on the kitchen table there. If that's where you leave it, pick it up, go from there.
It's called the bullet head attachment, not the
finger,
and not the two fingers.
It's called the fork, isn't it, Moose?
Yeah, the fork.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's not go there.
If you ever wonder, are these reviews authentic? Yes, they are. We are not reading anything out here.
Yeah.
No, it's a really good addition to my running. As I said, I couldn't live without it now, which is pretty cool. And probably a sign there too, Moose, if you're buying something that you don't stock, for listeners out there, Moose wouldn't be throwing away money on something that he wouldn't rate. So, yeah, very.
That's a good point.
That is a very good point. Yeah. You're buying it just like all the other punters out there.
First point of call is try to get an account with the brand so I can buy it cheap.
And just stock like two of them, but buy one for yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Hyper Ice, they're the company that stocked those Normatec recovery boots, or aren't they?
They it looks like it.
Yeah.
I'm on their website now.
So like they're really well respected in terms of those compression, what are they called? Compression boots?
Normatec. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And another good thing is I've only charged mine once. Like, I don't know how strong this battery is in here. It's probably got some specs somewhere on this website if I scroll
about
down.
About three hours, Brady.
Yeah, okay. But you never use it in big chunks of time, do you? Like, you might use it for 15 minutes. So you're going to get a whole lot of work out of it before having to charge it again. And it's got a pretty light on the bottom that changes colour when it needs to be charged. You guys notice that?
Yes, I have.
Goes from green to yellow. Thanks for your support over there at the Hypervolt Plus. I think listeners get 15% off if you want to buy one. Good time for Christmas as well. Keep ear out for the end of the show. We'll talk about that. All right, fellas, listener question, Brad.
Listener question. Greeting team. Runners are advised to slip an easy week into training periodically. How often should that be, and what would it look like? So that's one question. Do you want to do the second one as well?
Yeah, I thought you were going to do that top one there. Don't worry. We're a bit all over the shop tonight, fellas. See that one in green there?
Oh, yep.
Don't
you want to do that one?
Nah, do that one. We'll just do this one, eh?
Yep, let's do it.
Well, there's no black and white answer for this, is there? Because it really depends on how much running you're doing and where you're coming from and what you got coming up. One thing that I think we'd all agree on is that post like big race, like a significant half marathon or a marathon, even a 10K on the track in spikes, we probably all would have down weeks after that, recovery weeks, absorb weeks, which could look like, you know, anything from full week off running, maybe after a hard marathon, to just easy jogging in between. Thoughts on that, boys? Agree?
Yep, agree.
Yep, and then it really just depends on who the athlete is and what they're training for when you do pencil. I know you used to do it, Brad, didn't you? 3 weeks up, 1 week down?
Yeah, well, it's sort of fluctuated. But I think like easy weeks or easy periods at the end of seasons as well. So if you're like a track runner, at the end of the track season, give yourself 2-3 weeks, even a month of downtime. Like you look at even guys in MTC, like once they finish their European season, they generally go on a holiday over there, come back to Australia and you know, just build up again slowly. I also think how often you have easy weeks and how those easy weeks look depend on how much you're flogging yourself in training. If you're training in a way that's quite sustainable week in, week out, which means, you know, if you're only doing a couple of sessions a week, but you're not going to the well in those sessions, you don't need super easy weeks as often as if you're doing three really intense weeks, or if you're doing three sessions a week that are all really hard week in, week out. You're going to need an easy week more often than somebody that's training within themselves regularly.
And you get a lot of benefit from like a half or like 4 days easy. So like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then load the back end of the week just quite normally. I always like get back into a session maybe Friday, easy day Saturday, maybe a long run 20 or 30 minutes shorter than what it usually is on a Sunday. And like I find athletes are ready to go again just by having those 4 days of maybe light jogging or even like a planned day off in there somewhere. So it doesn't always need to be a full week.
Yeah.
Moose, anything else to add?
That's pretty good. I like the half week recovery is can work. And then people don't like that though because they don't that it doesn't look good on their Strava or whatever. They can't claim it as a down week. When, but I normally go like two, I think generally 2 weeks up, 1 week kind of lower is what I've used for most people. I find you've got to be pretty resilient to have three bigger weeks before you have that sort of absorption week. And then for some people going up, like the hard, easy sort of concept, like big week, then down week, then big week, then down week. Some people, that works as well. Mm. So you can, there is no right answer, really.
Yeah, and listen to your body. Like, usually your body's screaming out for when it does need a down
week. Oh, I reckon it's too late when you start screaming out for it.
True, yeah. Like, you do this to avoid issues, don't you?
Yeah, don't wait for it to tell you. You've got to put it in before that.
Yeah. Yeah, and this does, like, you see people who do this smartly, and then they're the guys who can string months and years together because they have these little down. I like calling them absorb weeks as well. Like, it is an opportunity for your body to absorb, and then you just get building again. It's kind of like thinking, like, yeah, have 7 days down to then have another, 6 months up. Not all in a row, but over a long period of time. Yeah. Thanks for your question. Was that Hunter? Hunter Spear, I think it was.
No name, but yeah.
That's where it comes from. Hunter's beer on Instagram. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week.
Cortisone. How's that purchase of the week, Moose?
No, it's free, actually.
Are you getting it for free? Athletics Australia would pay for all his medical, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, right.
I thought they do if you're at that level.
What level?
Like making teams and stuff. Paying
elite,
bills.
Elite coach.
Guy who made a team over a year and a half ago.
Oh, so they don't pay you stuff.
Yeah, didn't you get a Coles voucher?
Surely if you're getting the Coles vouchers, you're still on medical.
Was that for being a coach or an athlete?
Coach. So I just trade that in for a cortisone.
Can I pay my Coles gift card, please?
I did buy something. It hasn't arrived yet. I got some new books. I actually bought some new running books. So the first one that I bought was by Jeff Hollister. I think it was Nike's first employee. So third employee number two or three, I reckon, Jeff Hollister. And he wrote a book on how Nike marketed the culture of running.
I've got that book.
Do you? Yeah.
It's written like a textbook. Is that one? Yeah, it's really like strange. What's it called?
Just Google Jeff Hollister.
Yeah.
How Nike marketed the culture of running.
The inside story of how Nike marketed the culture of running.
Yeah.
It's just a real weird text, like when you open it up and got little like text boxes off to the sides and things like that. I've actually read the first two chapters and then I put it down. I don't know why. I just didn't get into it. I'm going to come back to it. Where'd you get that from?
Employee number three. I got it from Amazon. I don't have any good secondhand bookstores around me.
Have you got the one with the white cover? Because it looks like there's a couple of front covers here. Or the kind of bluey, greeny front cover.
Gee, I didn't really get it out.
How much did it cost?
Oh, I don't know.
Are they expensive? Shit. I think I got mine for like $5 in an op shop somewhere. Might sell it.
You would have been lucky to get that in an op shop. I don't think they would have sold that in Australia, in bookstores over here. I got the one with the white cover.
Yeah, with the Nike blue tick at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Op shopped it. No. It's only worth $9.80 though. I must have printed a few of them.
I got Sam Chalunga's book as well.
Oh, is that good? You started it?
Oh, mate, I nearly finished it. It's called With the Wind. I don't like it.
Oh.
it's more like... It's more like a motivational book, kind of like he tells a story of a race or a workout, and then he tells you like the messages behind it and how you can use that. And then it's a little bit preachy for me. I kind of was hoping it would be more like an autobiography or something, but it was more like a preachy book.
I find some of Meb's books are a bit like that.
Yeah, mate, I'm not going there either. Because I read one of them. Which one was it? Shit, it was one of them, and I had to put it down. It was too gaudy. It was just too much about like how the Lord helped. And I'm sure it was maybe it was Meb's book.
Yeah, he's got a couple. I think Run to Overcome is one of them. Not sure what the other one is. There's one about every one of his marathons as well. I read that one.
Mm.
It probably wasn't bad because it just went into like those nerdy details about marathon running and like where he stuffed up drinks or what he did in training beforehand. But it didn't go that deep. Like when you're only writing a chapter on each race.
What
else you got?
I got one. It was called... It's called Running with the Buffaloes. You've probably heard of it.
Oh, now, yeah, I've never read that before.
No,
I didn't. You've never read it?
2002, I reckon.
Yeah, it's the best running book of all time. And so I think I've got two copies, and I just wanted a third because what happens if one goes missing? Then I'll only have two copies.
Oh, I have the same story. I went to our secondhand bookstore the other day and I saw one of Mona's ones. I've already got two of them in my bookshelf, but I was like, oh, yeah.
What do you mean one of Mona's ones?
No, like I've got the same book. I've got it already twice in my bookstore and in my bookshelf, and I bought the third copy just because I'm like, yeah, you know what? It'd be good to have three in there, or just in case I need to give one away.
They're not getting re-released.
Like yeah. Right. Yeah, I think that's pretty – that goes for like 70 or 80 bucks on eBay already as it is.
Yeah, okay.
Not really. That I'll sell it, yeah, but I'll just hang on to it. Yeah, yeah. So you bought Running with the Buffaloes. That would be getting reprinted over there, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty new. But you still can't buy it in Australia. Australia is a bit shit like that. It's hard to get some of the books in. Like, publishers don't bring them over or something. I've been into bookstores and said, can you order me this, please? Local bookstore. Oh, no, we can't get that. It's not available in Australia. I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't want to buy them from overseas, but I have to.
One of the highlights of my trip to the US in like 2009 was just driving around Oregon, going to all the different bookstores and seeing all the books you could get over there that I'd never seen before.
Here we go, fellas. There's three Monteghetti books on sale. One's 220, one's 85, and the other one's 136.
Someone's taken a piss there, surely.
One's on eBay, one's on Fine Print Books, and the other one's on eBay as well.
Mona's selling him. He hasn't had as many to go to this year.
They're all from Webster Street, Ballarat address.
Yeah. He's got any in the attic with all his old shoes.
Yeah, he's gone out to the shed and he's still got three boxes of them.
This one will do 85. This one will be 120. it's the purchase of the week. Oh, I got this other one while I was over there. Like, you reminded me. I went into a running store in Eugene. It was just a new kind of franchise one there. And while we were there, we were just checking out the running stores and found this one locally distributed book by Alan Culpepper, and it was signed and everything, and they're just selling it in there. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll take that. Signed, yeah, Alan Culpepper.
This Monteghetti one signed, they're saying. That's why it cost $220.
I bet you probably signed it, put it up for $220.
It's coming from a bookstore. It says, like, visit our known world eBay bookshop. You can look this up, listeners, if you're doing it. I'm not making this stuff up.
Moose, isn't it amazing over there? Like, you go to these bookstores and there's, like, a massive section on running, whereas you go to the bookstores in Australia and you look and you've got Running for Dummies, and that's about it.
Yeah. There's normally a gym fix in there. You'll find that. That's everywhere. Like, because it seemed like it was sold a lot. And then, yeah, Running for Dummies. And you've Born to Run. Born to Run's everywhere now. Everyone got rid of their copy. What else do you see a lot?
Running with the Kenyans.
Oh, yeah. No, that's pretty good, actually.
That's a good book. That's a really good book, yeah.
Yeah.
But you do see it's around a lot. Any ones that get printed and, like, stocked in, like, Big W and that. Like, they're the ones that make it, yeah.
Like, yeah. Over there, the running section's like how the cricket or the footy section books are over here. Yeah, yeah, there's always plenty. Mm.
Do you keep all your books in the store, Moose? Because haven't you got like 200 or something?
I keep the expensive. I keep this. There's a few really good signed copy books that I keep at home. So, like, there's Ron Clark signed, there's Herb Elliott signed, Arthur Lydiard books that have been signed. So, they're all at home. And then there are a couple, like, there's the David Bedford story, which is a very hard to get book. So, that's at the store, but it's in a cover up outside of the reach of anybody.
Mm. Where'd you get that one from? Bedford. I haven't even heard that one.
No, that, so, a few years ago,
Maybe like five years ago.
Yeah, Bree basically purchased me a collection of books. So I inherited a lot from Bree, gifting it to me from a collection from Scott, who has been on the podcast before. And so there's a lot of, like, there's books in there that he's sort of, a lot of them are sort of signed to him from Arthur Lydiard or whatever. Yeah, so that was...
Why didn't Scott want them anymore? Or did Bray just make, like, a really good offer? He couldn't turn it down.
Oh, well, Scott wanted him... like, he had kind of left running by that stage, and he was cycling a lot, and then he was moving houses, and he wanted them to be with someone who valued them. So he didn't want to break them up and sell them individually, and he also didn't... like want them to go to people that didn't kind of respect them, I guess. So he wanted them sort of kept together in a collection, which they are. And they're presented like that in a sort of museum type setup in the store. It's not a library. It's a collection and a museum that you can go in and have a look at, but you can't just take them away. That's the difference. It just, like, some people think it's a library. Oh, can I borrow this one? I'm like, no, you can't have my signed copy of The Unforgiving Minute to take home. That's a bit too valuable for you to take home and read, I think. But yeah, so that's why. And it included other things like memorabilia and stuff. So there's some memorabilia in there as well.
Not a bad birthday, Christmas present, whatever it was, Brad.
Pretty good.
He goes all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself.
That's where you get the man that has everything. Hey?
Well, not clearly not, because he still has a purchase of the week every week.
I'm just Googling Normatec boots right now, going, I wonder what these Normatec boots.
Yeah.
That would be a good show sponsor, actually, if you're out there, Normatec boots.
Hyper Ice, mate, same sponsor. They should be listening.
Yeah, yeah, probably just listen to their ad and then turn us up, I reckon.
What ad?
I started laughing through my comments.
Yeah, Brady butchered it by saying, oh, I like the finger attachment or the double finger
attachment. I'm going to send you the YouTube I watched on it. This physio, we're saying that's what you do. What's coming up, Moose? What are you got coming up? Big half marathons coming up in India. It's big fields over there. We'll probably talk about that next week. Someone will probably break the half marathon record over there. Australian 50K record's going, well, maybe going down. A few blokes, if you're familiar with Dane Verway's work over at Run Culture. Who is it? John Dutton, Dion Finocchiaro, Craig Appleby, and Dane Verway. Going to run a 50K on the track. They're talking about breaking Mark Tucker's record from 2008, which is 2 hours 53.47. So they've got to run 3:27 kilometre pace, split the marathon at 2:25.13, and then hang on for another 8K. Any of those guys going to do it, Bradley?
Not sure.
Wait, you said Tucker's was a road record. They're running on the track. How does that work?
Yeah, I think as long as you cover 50K, it's right.
What? Oh, so it's not a road record.
No, it's just a 50K record. I think it's all a bit different when you get into the ultra distances and stuff as well. Like, I don't know if this is Australia ultra stuff or is this Athletics Australia stuff, or I'm not too sure.
I reckon if you run like, a 10K on the track, it doesn't count for a road 10K record. Maybe it's different at 50K.
Mate, yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting at. Maybe they've got different rules.
It's got to be tough, like, considering their PBs are only a few minutes quicker than the marathon. I mean, has Dutton broken 2:25? I don't think so. Yeah, you have to go through it to run 2:53.
He's got a marathon PB it and then hang on for another 8. Dano's ran 2:21, hasn't he? Dion's ran 2:21. Yeah, yeah. Apples has ran something similar.
Yeah, they've all run pretty quick. Verway ran it in Berlin, and then Apples was Tokyo, and Dion same race there, 220, 1:22 maybe.
I reckon Dion went to another Japanese one to run it actually, but it's pretty similar time. I reckon maybe 2:21 at both, but he just went a bit quicker. Yeah,
I remember that race in Tokyo. It was fucking cold and
yeah. We had Craig Appleby on. He filled in for you actually because you were over in Tokyo, and you recorded a show later on the week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so you reckon the other three had a chance, but no good for Dutton. Is that what you're saying? He's a bit of a beast.
I think it's harder to run it on a track than on the road.
It's 125 laps.
Yeah, that's mentally. What I'm saying. I reckon there'd more chance if they ran it on a 2K road loop and you did 25 laps rather than running 125 laps on the track. I just think the body is going to hate that. You're going to find things go wrong with your body doing that. Are they changing direction?
No, all in the one. Just keep going left the whole way.
Can you imagine you're at left?
I was going to put you down for a lap scorer.
Can you imagine what your body's going to feel like after doing that?
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
I think Saturday, maybe.
Yeah, because it's a low of 19 on Saturday, so 19 to 27. So it's on the warmer side of things. If the low is 19.
Good thing about this, you can get cold drinks whenever you want, access to gel. Are they going to run together?
I don't know. They're all racing each other. Nah, it's Sunday 29th, Brad, 7 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Box Hill Athletics Track. It's where I run the 10K PB.
Sunday is a low of 15, so that's a bit better.
They start at 7 a.m. How hot is it then?
Well, I don't know. I've just got the minimum's 15 for that day, but the max is only 22, so that's actually not too bad.
Windy? Imagine wind on a track.
Southerly 15 to 25K.
That's pretty windy.
So if they're in 2:21 marathon shape, then they're a chance, you know, like four minutes up your sleeve to then only cover another 8K.
So. Yeah, the thing is, Mark Tucker is like, he's a quality runner who set that record.
When he set that record, he ran the marathon, what was it, 2:16 or something that day or whatever, and then he kind of stopped and then someone told him to get out and go and finish it, you'll get the record. And because I think he got more money if you did that too. And he was the fun run king, wasn't he? So he wasn't going for the record. He basically jogged it in.
Yeah. And it was Canberra. So it's it's not dead flat.
Gotcha. Oh, well, be interesting to watch. We'll talk about that next week if someone breaks the record. What are you doing, Bradley, in your life between now and next week?
Track session tomorrow night. I don't know, might go to park run and do a tempo. That's about it.
Moose, what do you got coming up?
I'm gonna get thick. Oh, we got a hilly tempo on Friday. So the group's going down doing this tempo that course, 6K, about 150 meters in it. It's going to be solid.
Oh yeah.
Are you going to do that as well?
You might get smacked up, I reckon.
I got to get my crown back. Lost it a few times lately, so I've got to get it back.
Who's wearing it?
Don't do anything silly, Moose. You just had your cortisone.
Cortisone, what, 1 week before, you know, I'll be right, but then I'll be flying.
How's the merch sales going for the Surf Coast Track Club? Sold any?
It's nearly sold out, mate.
What, how many are four?
It's insane. Oh, we sell more fucking merch on that than we do on Inside Running, I tell you. And I manage it, so I know.
Rightio. I look forward to seeing people hooking around in their Surf Coast Track Club merch.
I'm wearing this hoodie right now. It looks good. The logo's come up a treat.
Joel Tobin White for all your design needs. All right, fellas, do it all again next week. See you later.
Have a good week.
See ya.
Thank you to this week's sponsor, Hyper Ice. You can check out their range of state-of-the-art percussive massage devices to help alleviate soreness, relax stiff muscles, improve range of motion, and promote better blood circulation to accelerate warm-up and the recovery time. Inside Running Podcast listeners can get 15% off the entire range at their website, hyperice.com.au, using the promo code IRP15 at checkout.